the next page says that people like to talk about other people's business. They discuss, you know, people sit around the Sheva Brochas or Bar Mitzvah and talk about Yenna's a multi-millionaire and he did this deal and he did that deal and, you know, he's worth so much and he's into this and he's into that. You know, during COVID he sold loads of PPE and the government made an absolute fortune, etc., etc. People like to talk about other people's business, says the Chofetz Chaim. And the truth is, he says, why are you bichlal discussing Yenna's business? And he says, there is a possibility, says the Chofetz Chaim, it doesn't necessarily have to happen, there's a possibility you could cause him damage. Because, you know, somebody says, oh, he's a multimillionaire, he's doing so well, he's brilliant. And then somebody, one person will say, ah, yes, but you know he's mortgaged up to the hilt. And when he comes, when his fixes end, he's going to be in terrible trouble, yeah, and he could go bankrupt, yeah. Or somebody else will say, oh, if he's doing so well, how come he doesn't give to Stocker? Yeah, there are all sorts of consequences that can arise out of that. And why are you talking business at all? I heard recently about somebody, a young man came from Israel. He brought with some money from investors and he wanted to go into property. So he looks around and he asks, etc., etc. And he bought a property, exchange contracts on the property, from somebody who'd had this property for some time. He'd bought it. He worked out that it wasn't worthwhile developing it, and he was trying to get rid of it. Yeah? And he sold it to this Ingerman. And other people, you know, heard about it, and they went over to the vendor, and they said, how can you do that? How could you do that? He's a young man. He's trying to start out in business. He brought some money from investors. You know the property is no good. That's why you've been trying to get rid of it. Yeah. So he said, I told him it's no good, and he still begged me for it. Yeah. So he said, how much am I going to argue with him? You know, but so they said, yeah, but he's going to lose money and he's going to get into trouble, etc., etc. And he said, yeah, you're right. He said, but he wanted it. I told him that I didn't want it because I couldn't develop it to make it worthwhile, etc. So the story goes, yeah, that he went back to the council, he got more planning permission, and he ended up making £2 million profit. Okay, so but the question is, why are you mixing into Yeno's business in the first place? Yeah, what is it? People are talking around and, yeah, I heard that he sold that property to this younger man. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to go and speak to him, etc., etc., and ask him how you're talking, you know, you would do such a thing, etc. All these things, yeah, this is basically, Chofetz Chaim says, Aleph, it's none of your business. Why are you bichlal discussing Yenna's business? And secondly, he says, there is a possibility that it's proper Lashon Hara because there's a possibility of adverse results, if you like. Yeah, and therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, steer away from it. You don't have to, yeah, you know about your own business. You don't need to know about Yenna's business. You know, there's no toyelos in it. There's no tachlis in just discussing what other people are doing and how much money they're making.
Start with the Torah Way, North West London, Friday, 18th of Kislev, 1st of December. Rabbi Yechiel Emanuel Shalita Harshati. This week's Torah Way is sponsored by family David Levy, the first Simcha Mishra, Shimon Levy, Neri Yoy, and Penny Feingold, to ship here. Custom to place last Sunday. He runs her and she moved by the name of his Torah Way. And there's a left time after at the back. Also, this course has Shavuim Va Chayolim Va Melchomor Shiachudah Va Tehem Nishalom Vim Heiro.
Good morning. I'd like to share with you, Be'ez HaShem, two shtiklich on the parasha. One very concentrated on the parasha, and one that's perhaps more far-reaching than just the parasha itself. One, Be'ez HaShem, which will reach a inyan which nagia a little bit lehalacha, and one that nagia very much lemaisa. The pasuk in Perek Lamed Beis pasuk Yudalid tells us about Yaakov Avinu sending the Mincha to Esav HaRasha. And he sends him a variety of different animals, a collection of different animals, with the purpose of trying to, as he says, Achap Rapono B'Mincha, I'm going to try and calm down Esav, try and wipe away the anger from on his face. And one of the psukim there, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yudale, tells us, Vayikach min haba b'yodoi mincha le'esav achiv. The Yaakov Avinu took min haba b'yodoi a mincha, seemingly superfluous words. He could have just said, Vayikach, and he took mincha le'esav achiv. What's min haba b'yodoi? So Rashi already says three different pshatim in order to explain what minabah biyodeh means. Rashi says the first pshat is he took minabah biyodeh. Minabah biyodeh, what came into his rashus, what belonged to him, the pasha pshat. That's what was his, what he had gained, what he had achieved. Like it says, vayikach is called arzoi miyodeh, what he had. The second pshat Rashi says is vayikach min habah biyodeh. He took things that a person would normally carry in their hands for extra. To make sure they're extra secure, a person has precious stones, precious gems, doesn't just put that in his bag, doesn't just put that in what's loaded onto the camels, onto the donkeys. Yaakov Avinu carried that in his hands. Those were avonim tovos, margolios, that a person carries in their hands. And thirdly, minabah biyodeh means that which he had already taken, trumas and maisras, and bechor, and whatever else needed to have been taken from that eder. Minabah biyodeh, what was his, what he had taken, like Yaakov Avinu promised. He'd done that. That had taken place already. And this was further minabah biyodeh. The Rosh adds in, those are Rashi's three pshatim. The Rosh says another pshat. He says minabah biyodeh is referring to that he took that which a person can carry with their hands, can move with their hands. In other words, avodim, a person cannot take with their hands. One doesn't, it's not possible, or it is possible, one doesn't, that a person doesn't take avodim with their hands. As an interesting side point, when kimat every time the Torah Kedusha speaks about taking another person, a lashon of lekicha, of taking another person, Rashi says that it means bidvarim. Lokhe bidvarim. That's why. So the Maharal explains that if you were to take someone from one place to another place, physically move them, then you have physically taken them from one place to another. But are they really there? It's unlikely. Normally when you move a person from one place to another, no one likes to be moved from one place to another, certainly when it's against one's will. They may be in the second location, but they're not there in mind and in spirit. When you encourage a person to go from one place to the other, you've encouraged them, and then they've made the move on their own. Not only are they in the second location physically, but they're there in mind and spirit as well. And that's why the Torah, why Rashi explains almost every time that lekicha means bidvarim, it means encouraging rather than actually physically manhandling. So the Rosh over here says, based on a Gemara where we know that one's not allowed to sell an eved to a non-Jew because that's mafia him min hamitzvos, makes him exempt. Unable to keep mitzvahs. So therefore over here as well, Yaakov Avinu didn't send avodim. That wasn't what he sent. Things that he could actually physically move and physically handle. The Chofetz Chaim says, Yaakov Avinu didn't go around choosing, maybe this is nice for Esau, maybe that is nice for Esau. Whatever, as he went, whatever came. The animal walked towards him, that can be for Esau, that can be for Esau. More haphazardly, without too much machshava, without too much intent. That's what Yaakov Avinu took. And he gave to Esav HaRosha. The Baal HaTurim over here in our parasha, when it enumerates the different Chumash, sorry. Right, there's one here. When the Torah Kedusha enumerates the different animals that Yaakov Avinu sent to Esav, so the Baal HaTurim points out that there's a unique pasuk, one of two pasukim that appears like this in the Torah Kedusha. That's right, yes. That there are only two pasukim in the Torah where every single word in the pasuk ends with a mem. So over here we have Izim, Masayim, Utsiyoshim, Esrim, Rechilim, Masayim, Ve'ilim, Esrim. And the Baal HaTurim points out that there's another pasuk in Parashas Pinchas, Baal HaKurim will be able to tell, Minchosom, Viniskeyem, Laporim, Loelim, Rakvosim, Kamishbatom, in the Nasachim of Sukkos. That's another pasuk that ends off all with mems. So if there are two pasukim only in the Torah that end with mems, they must be connected. So Kedarka the Baal HaTurim says they very much are connected. That the Baal HaTurim says there was a taina on Yaakov Avinu that he didn't rely on the brocha that was given to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Havtocha that was given to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he will prevail. He'll be successful. He won't succumb to Lavan. He'll overcome Esav. V'shavdi v'shalem il v'esavi. And everything will work out. The Rebbein Shem guarantees him. And Yaakov Avinu in return makes a promise that when that will all happen, he'll come back. And he'll give Maisa from everything that he owns. So it says the Baal HaTorim, there was a tain on Yaakov Avinu. Why did you have to send this, all these gifts to Esav HaRasha on the darga of Yaakov Avinu? When Yaakov Avinu said to him, Yiyeh Elokim Imodi, he wanted to live on the darga of Midas Hadin. So then, Rebbeinu Shem was medaktik, kechut asar, and Yaakov Avinu sent these gifts without, and that on his darga was a minimizing in being relying on the Havtocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, resulting from which we have to counteract that every single year. And Yaakov Avinu sent 450, says the Baal HaTorim, he sent 450 animals as his mincha. When you enumerate what he sent, there are 450 animals that he sent to 550, thank you. Yes, correct. 550 animals, Kigamatria. Oh, well, we'll see. 550 animals. He sent that as a gift to Esav HaRasha. And to counteract that, we have 550 musafin that we bring every single year as a kapara, as an antidote for those 550 minchas or karbonis that Yaakov Avinu sent to Esav HaRasha. Interestingly, the Baal HaTorim says, the Orech Chaim HaKadosh says, that there were 580 karbonis that were sent. And that's because there's a machlokes as to how you translate and explain the pasuk that talks. The first two pasukim tell us that there was. It tells us about the females and the males. And then it says gemalim meinikos uvneim shloishim. There's two ways you could learn this. Gemalim meinikos, you have camels that are nursing, uvneim and their children shloishim. So either you could learn shloishim means in total there were 30, or you could understand this as meaning Gemalim meinikos uvneim. There were 30 nursing mothers and 30 children. It's a machlokes between the Baal HaTorim and the Orech Chaim HaKadosh. The Baal HaTorim learns it. There were 30 in total, adding up to 550. The Orech Chaim HaKadosh says there were 30 mothers, 30 children, adding up to 580. Kigamatria toikef. In order that, and that's why he sent it to break the toikef of Seir, which was the koyach of Esav HaRasha. In order to break that, that's why Yaakov Avinu sent it. The Baal HaTorim adds in, when he says about the pasuk over here ending with mems, that every single word ends with a mem, it's being meramas to us that Yaakov Avinu didn't want Esav using these for karbonis, potentially for Avodah Zarah. And he didn't want him using it for karbonis at all. So he sent him Baalei Mumim. And that's why every word in that pasuk ends with a mem, from a lashon of a mum. Okay, so he sent them as Baalei Mumim. Now, how did he know that they all were Baalei Mumim? If he would have sent a Baal Mum, you know, broken Minar Kuva Lamalo and limping, I don't think that was exactly would have removed Esav HaRasha's anger. That probably would have increased it. So how did Yaakov Avinu subtly send Baalei Mumim that would still be a mincha to achieve the purpose of Achap Rofonov of Esav HaRasha, but at the same time not work out to be Karbonis because they can't be Karbonis Meikar? So there's a fascinating piece of Darkei Moshe of the Rama on the Torah where he brings from the Tashbeit, he brings in the name of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. That there's a way, it's not foolproof because otherwise we would use it, but there's a way of checking an animal before you shecht it to know whether it's going to be kosher to eat or not. Meaning, there are animals that are not kosher, fine. There's animals that are kosher, but we can't eat them for a variety of different reasons. They may be a trefa, they may be Baalei Mumim, there may be a bunch of different reasons why we can't have them to eat. So there's a way of checking. Says Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, so the Tashbeis in the name of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, brought in the Dark Emotion, the Rama, that if you put your hand in front of the animal, and the animal lowers itself, it bows itself beneath your hand to go past, you know it's kosher. It has the middos of Achna. We know the Rebbeinu Shem told us certain animals that we can eat, certain animals that we cannot eat. The animals that we can eat are oisgeidel to animals. They have certain middos and tchunas which are oisgeidel, and the Eibushim wants that to become part of us. We ingest that, and that becomes part of us. There are animals that are not like that, and therefore we're not allowed to eat them. Within the animals, even the ones that are kosher, once they are no longer kosher to eat, they seem to develop a tchuna that is a certain brazenness. And if you were to put your hand in front of it, it won't bow down under it. It pushes your hand to try and move you out the way and push itself forward. Says the Rama from the Tashbeis, from Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, that this is a way you can check an animal before you shecht it, before you actually open it up and do all the nikkur and see inside whether it's kosher or not. You can check it, put your hand in front of it, and see if it goes or if it doesn't. The Rashash in Brochas Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis says that's pshat in the pasuk Kol Hashayavor Tachas Hashovet. So you put your shevet out, put your staff out, put your stick out. There's the farmer, and you see the animals that the Biktuch will go down. They have the hachna, so you know they're kosher. The ones that don't, so you know they're not kosher. You can't use them as part of your meisa. We don't use this completely the halacha because we know that when we shecht we go basarov. If you were able to check, then you don't go basarov. Rov paskins a sofik that you can't be mevaro. If this was a way of definitely being mevaro, we wouldn't have to go basarov to say that we don't need to check certain psulim in an animal. We could check it this way. Vice versa, it's not a foolproof yisoid, but it's a yisoid that works. Based on that,
one stop Esav to bring it as a
korban.
Yeah. So this way, it's possible.
It wouldn't even be no kedushas chal on it. So let him bring it for avodah zarah as well. So the Sefer Har Tzvi, who was a mashkiach in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, so he writes. He says based on this, efshar that's pshat in the pasuk. The Yaakov Avinu wanted to make sure that he took animals that looked okay. But he wanted to take the ones that he knew would be treifers, so they can, no kedusha can be chal on them, and they can't be used as a carbon. Vayikach min habar b'yado, he took the animals, put his hand in the way. The ones that went underneath, he said, no, those I'm keeping. And the ones that tried to push his hand out the way, vayikach min habar b'yado, those ones went into his hand, said, oh, that can go to Esav, it's a shtaivi, it's a treifer. And that's the remez in the Balaturim, saying that all these animals were bali mumim, they all had the mum in them, and therefore Yaakov Avinu didn't send them. Sent those ones, sorry.
Esav again. Yaakov. Third time he fooled Esav.
Yes, yeah. It's never going to overcome us. So that's one Indian that I wanted to share with you. There's another Indian right at the beginning of the parasha, an Indian that's spoken about a lot. The Yaakov Avinu Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim Lefonov El Esav Achiv. And Rashi famously says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim, Malochim Mamash. He sent real Malochim. Who were these Malochim? Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim Lefonov, Milefonov. So we take a look at last week's parsha, and we see the Yaakov holach ledarkoi, vayifku uvoi malachei Elohim. Yaakov Avinu holach ledarkoi, he went on his journey after he had said goodbye to Lavan and his chevra. Yaakov Avinu goes on his journey, vayifku uvoi malachei Elohim, and he meets the malachei Elohim. Vayomi Yaakov kasherah machne Elohim ze, he exclaimed, "This machne Elohim." Vayikro shem mokem ahu machanoi. So who were these malachim? So some Mepharshim explain that these Malachim were the Malachim Milefonov from in front of Yaakov Avinu, who Yaakov Avinu himself had created. So when we know the Gemara in Maseches Makkos tells us, "Bederech she'adam roitzei leilech moilichin oisoi," not moilich oisoi. It's not just that we get Siyat Nishma from the Eibishta, but the Eibishta sends us moilichin oisoi. The Eibishta sends us Malachim to assist us. And in many cases, those are malachim. Kol ha'isa mitzvah achas koineloi praklit echod. The Chofetz Chaim says k'seide in his svarim. What does that mean? Ha'isa mitzvah achas koineloi praklit echod. Person who does a mitzvah creates a malach. And when one creates a malach, then those malachim, besides for the two malachim that are there with us the whole time from the beginning of our bria, which are trying to encourage us to do mitzvahs and avoid averus, there are also malachim that we create that's part of the mitzvah, gereres mitzvah, that helps us and encourages us that we should continue to do mitzvahs, and they assist us. They are the Moilichin Oisai. The brother of the Maharal has a sefer called Sefer HaChaim. In there he says, why did Chazal coin Gemara Gemara? They could have called it Talmud, they could have called it Limud, they could have called it all different. Why Gemara? So the brother of the Maharal says, because Gemara is Rosh HaTevis, Gavriel, Michoel, Raphael, Uriel. A person who learns Gemara, those Malachim also are with us, are with him the whole time. They guide him, they look after him, they take care of him. And therefore, that's one of the Ramazim. But we have these Malachim; they take care of us the whole time. So the Chidor says pshat over here. What does he mean by Yishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefonov Milefonov Malachim Mamish? Those Malachim that he had created, that he had made with his mitzvahs, Yaakov Avinu knew who they were. He saw them, and the more energy and the more effort and the more kavon a person puts into a mitzvah, the stronger the Malach is. Ad kedei kach. It's brought in Chazal, the Malach comes in front of the Eibishter, and the Eibishter asks him, who are you, where are you from? And he says, I'm the Malach of Pliny, he created me, and this is where I'm from. The end of the Akedah, it's after Yaakov Avinu, after Avram Avinu takes the ayil, and he's makriv the ayil, so it says, Vayikro ilov Malach Hashem min Hashemayim, and he says, Bi nishbati nu'um Hashem. Ki ano she'asiso sadova hazeh, what's bi nishbati? Yeah, look, I've been created by you.
Through me, I can promise you that you see who I am, you see what's been created. I'm the Malach that can tell you that from the mitzvah you did, that's been created. Yeah, more recently, over 400 years ago, there was in Amsterdam a Rav who wrote a sefer called Nishmas Chaim. It was a Rav who's called Rabbi Nasha ben Yisrael. And he writes there that one of his mispalim, one of the people from his town, from Amsterdam, went towards a merchant, and he had gone on one of his journeys, and the ship that he was on got shipwrecked. After he got shipwrecked, most of the people didn't survive. Happens to be this Yid found the board of the ship, his damnoloi daf echad, and that helped him to navigate his way. He used that as his float, and he somehow managed to get ashore. Eventually, he returned home, and he came to his rav, to Rav Menashe ben Yisrael, and he told him about what had happened, and he related to him. He writes this in the sefer of his Nishmas Chaim. He said he related to him that when he was in the sea and it was getting tough to maintain his koichas and be able to survive, he suddenly saw an image of a poor person, an oni from Amsterdam, come, pluck him out of the sea. Doesn't remember much after that, but he was there, and after that he was on dry land. So he asked the Menashe ben Yisrael, what's pshat, what was this? So he said to him, do you remember, this is an oni from our town, do you remember before you left helping him out in any sort of way? So he said, yeah, I do remember that there was a particular story that happened, and I assisted him, and it was a serious nefesh to be able to do that. So he said to him, oh, so that's the malach that you saw, was a malach in the image of that oni that was created from your ma'aseh tzedakah, with tzedakah tatzelim of it, and that saved you, that brought you ashore. That's part of what we know, the malachim, that we create by doing the mitzvahs that we do. They assist us and help us to do mitzvahs. But perhaps there's another explanation, or not perhaps, there is another explanation in this pasuk, in the end of Parashas Vayetze, that tells us about the malachim that Yaakov Avinu sent to Esav. In Sefer Kava Yosher, which was also written close to 400 years ago, in Perek Ayin Dalad, I'll share with you a piece of Zohar Kodesh that he writes from Parashas Noach. Says Rabbi Lozov, Rabbi Yosi Chamoy, have a ozle me'usha lelud. Rabbi Lozov, Rabbi Shimon, who was after Rabbi Shimon Bayechai, had been nifta already, and Rabbi Lozov was on a journey together with his father-in-law, Rabbi Yosi, and they were going from Usha to Lud. Omar Rabbi Yosi le Rabbi Lozov, Rabbi Yosi, on their walk, as so often is described, all the different stories of in the Zohar Kodesh of different Tanoim going baderech and discussing things. So Rabbi Yosi asks his son-in-law Rabbi Lozov, "Efshe dishmat min avuch, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Efshe you heard from your father, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Might dichsiv. What's pshat in the pasuk in Perek Lama base pasuk base? VeYaakov holach ledarkoi vayifku uvoi malachei Elokim. Efshe you heard pshat. What does it mean? Yaakov went on his journey and he met the malachei Elokim. Who were these malachei Elokim? Man inun havoi. Who were they? Who are these malachei Elokim? Omale. So Rabbi Lozov said, "Lo yodano. I don't know." And he obviously had never asked his father, Rabbi Shimon, about it. Well, now it was too late. At the Abba Ozlin, Chamoy Chad Ma'arta, as they were going, they saw a cave. Shema'u Chad Kola, and they heard a voice emanating from the cave, the Omar that said, Train Uzlin Da'yalto Avadu Kodomai. Two young goats have made the Nachas Ruach, Avadu Kodomai Ru'usa the Naichali. Two young goats have made the Nachas Ruach in front of me. V'inun havin havoy mashir yosa kadisha, and this is the machane kadosh shepogu b'Yaakov ha'ochel lefonov that met Yaakov Avinu and preceded him in his journey to go towards Esav. Isragish lebelozer. Rabbi Lozer was very nisragish. He was very inspired. This is what he's just been talking to his shrei about, and here he hears some sort of bas koil emanating from this cave, saying that I've got a great nachas ruach from these two young goats who are the machane that preceded my that preceded Yaakov Avinu when he went to find Esau. V'yistai b'nafshei, but at the same time he was full of pachad. This is what they were just speaking about, and here's a baska. It's very inspiring, but it's quite scary as well, particularly about the fact that he didn't know what it meant. So here's the baska. Here's the message. It's answering the question that his shver is asking him, but he has no idea what it means. V'amar, he said, Ribayin da'alma, Ribayin shalaylam. This is your derech. Tavlon deloy nishma. It would have been better if we wouldn't have heard anything. Shemano do velo yodano, rather than to hear what we heard and not know what we've heard. It's painful. I hear half an answer, I hear part of an answer, and I can't figure it out. You're obviously sending me a message. It's rachish loy niso. a nace happened. Ushmau kolo to Omar, and they heard another buskol that said, Avram v'Yitzchok havoy. This machane, these two machane, was Avram and Yitzchok. Nofal Rebbe Elazar al apoy, Rebbe Elazar fell on his face. Chamod the yoikni de aviv, and he saw an image of his father, Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Amalei, he says to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Ano she'elno mi havoy hamalochim. I was asking, who were these malachim that Yaakov Avinu met? Ve'hishivuli, and they've answered me, Avram v'Yitzchok havoy, she'hem nizdamnu leilech lifnei Yaakov bevorcha mipnei Lavan Arami. They were prepared to precede him when he was running away from Lavan and going towards Esav Arasha. Ve'after Yitzchok havoy adayin kayom, and it's really difficult to understand because Yitzchok Avinu was still alive, as we know he was still alive way after Yosef HaTzadik was sold. Mikol makom, Nishmosoi porcha mimenu v'olo lemalo b'shas ha'akeido. His neshama, part of his neshama, was pereach from him at the time of the akeido. He's brought in the Tanad Ve'yo. V'ischaberim nishmas Avram, and it joined together with the neshama of Avram. V'azalu lifnei Yaakov, and these two neshamas of Avram and part of the neshama of Yitzchok were the ones who came and preceded them. These were the malachei Elohim. V'zeh shama akosuv. That's pshat now in the pasuk. We can understand why Yaakov Avinu said Elokei Avi. We know that normally a person doesn't put the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with someone that's alive. Like Eov said, Rashi brings a Hein B'Kedoshav L'Yamin. The Rebbein Shem doesn't juxtapose his name to the name of a person, even a tzaddik, until they've left this world. Because Kozman, they've got a Yetzahara, they still may succumb to it. How could it be that over here Yaakov Avinu can mention, and even the Eibishter mentions, that he is the father of Yitzchak, and he's the Eibishter of Yitzchak. Yeah, Yitzchak was still alive. But yeah, part of his neshama at the Akedah went there, and that part of his neshama, together with Yaakov Avinu, well, came to accompany Yaakov, the neshama of Avraham and Yitzchak, came to accompany Yaakov. So when Yaakov Avinu said, he saw these machane, these two, the machane, he saw these two malachim, and he wasn't sure who it was, when he realized, and he said it was machanoim, it was Avraham and Yitzchak. Okay, fascinating. Says Rav Shimon bar Yochai, V'omer Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Loi leYaakov levad have mizdam and nishmos tzadikim. It's not only to Yaakov Avinu. We would think, hey, it's a gewaldige meiser. It's a shame, like in one of the Gedolim books. It's all a great story about the Gedolim. Fine, it's good for them. What is it? How does it apply to us? Says Rav Shimon Aruchai, no. Loi leYaakov levad have mizdam and nishmos tzadikim. Ela lechol yirei shemayim. Any yid who at any point in their life has an inspiration of yirei shemayim to do a mitzvah, or to avoid an avera. At that point, that a person has that machshava instilled in their mind, and is misragish to either do a mitzvah or avoid an avera, mizdamnin loy nishmos tzadikim lahatziloy min hirurei avera. The Rebbe Hashem has prepared for him the neshamas of tzadikim that help and assist the person to avoid a thought of an avera. Umikol shekein me avera atzman, certainly from bringing that to fruition and doing the avera itself, and certainly a person who has intention to do a mitzvah, then the Rebbe Hashem also has these malachim that are there, that he says, Yish Messiah Nemachshavei Secha, they're there to assist the person and help him out. This is what Rav Shimon bar Yochai told his son, Rebbe Elazar. And we know that this is not something that's new. There's a well-known story that one of the youngest Talmidim, perhaps, he was a Talmid, not a Talmid, one of the youngest Talmidim of the Arizal, Rav Shmuel de Ozido, who wrote the Sefer on Pirkei Avos called Medrash Shmuel. He once arrived into the Beis HaMedrash of the Arizal, who was sitting there learning with his Talmidim, Rav Roshem and Rav Chaim Vital. And when Rav Shmuel de Ozido walked in, uncharacteristically, the Arizal stood up for him. He never stood up in the middle of learning for anyone. And this was the youngest of his Talmidim. He stood up. He walked over to him, conversed with him. And when he finished, also uncharacteristically, he walked him out the shul, and Dalai Lama was out the Beis HaMedrash. No, Rav Chaim Vital was a Talmid. So Yelamdeinu Rabbeinu, after the Sheikh asked him, he said, Rebbe, what's going on? So he said, I didn't stand up for Shmuel de Ozido. He had the neshama of Rav Pinchas ben Yair with him. I stood up for him. So Chaim Vital was okay. He says, why? He said, you must have done a mitzvah today, which the neshama of Rav Pinchas ben Yair came to help him. So Chaim Vital went to find Rav Shmuel de Ozido, went in Tzfas, and he found Rav Shmuel de Ozido. He said, what did you do today? He says, well, says that the Rebbe said that you did something today, because you know when you came in, he stood up for you, he never stands up for you, he never stops you, he never stands up for anyone, he doesn't walk anyone out of the Beis HaMedrash, and he did all of that for you. I asked him why. He told me, because you have the neshama of Rav Pinchas ben Yair with you. He said, what did you do today? So after a bit of convincing, he told him he was on his way to davening in the morning. And he went past one of the buildings and he heard wailing from inside. Bichius Nerois from inside. So he went inside to see what was going on. He came and he saw a family that had just been robbed of everything. They were robbed of absolutely everything. The only thing they were left with were the blankets that they'd been sleeping in. So where were they meant to go? Family and children. He says, I went home. He said, look, you see, I'm wearing my Shabbos clothes. Yep, because I went home and I changed. And I had given my other clothes. I've given that to that family. It was a tremendous, mysterious nefesh. So Chaim Vital went back to Arizal to tell him the story. He said, yeah, Pinchas Ben Yoav was the one who was Isaac in Pidyon Shvuim, was Isaac in looking, being mischassed with other Yidden and always looking to do chesed with them. Versteitzach, he says, so then I understand that the Rabbeinu Shleilam sent the neshama of this malach, the Kavayoshin, in the earlier parak explained, he says there's two concepts of an ibur neshama, of a neshama coming back. There's a neshama that can come back. There's a person, we have a gilgul of a neshama. A person comes back as a gilgul. That's what the Arizal said many of us are. He says there's another concept of Ibru Neshama, where the Neshama of a Tzaddik or Tzaddikas comes back to assist the person to do a mitzvah. And there's particular times, the Chiddush HaRim would say, there's particular times when that happens, where the word the Neshamas of Tzaddikim in previous Torahs, there were certain Zmanim in the year where they were Oisek in particular Avodah, in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the times of the Dorideah, those particular Neshamas come back to help Klal Yisrael in that Avodah, in that particular time of year. That's how they come to help us. And perhaps another Pshat in the beginning of our parsha, Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim Lefonov, Yaakov had here some tremendous Malochim that could assist him. His father and his grandfather, the father and grandfather of Esau Roshi, was going to meet, who were there to help him and assist him and show that we have the direct line of descent, and they were there to look after Yaakov Avinu. And as Rav Shimon Yochai says, it's not just for them, but for every single one of us, any Yid who has, who's a Yirei Shamayim, Mizdamim Loi Nishmois HaTzadikim, the Neshamas of Tzadikim are there to assist us, to help us in our Avodas Hashem, to further our Avodas Hashem more.
It says in towards the end of the Seder, because we've done a lot about the beginning of the Seder, the birth of Benjamin. At that point, unfortunately, Ruchel is expiring and about to leave the world. The Mialedes saw her, and she says to her, "Al tiri, ki gam ze loch bein. This will be for you a son." So she was informing her that you have something to rejoice about because you just gave birth to a baby boy. And the question is quite pertinent. A woman is going away from this world and you're trying to comfort her. What much comfort is it that she's about to die and you say to her, by the way, it's a baby boy. So to this, I heard from my Zayda once a very beautiful Ha'ure. He said like this, Shlomo HaMelech said in Keheles, 10 chaylik l'shivu v'gam l'shmoinu, which is interpreted in about 6 different ways, one in the Gemur and Erevin, but the one I was looking for, I was looking very, very hard for this morning and finally came across it. It was actually Medrash on Keheles, and Medrash on Keheles has got another explanation. Says that ten chayik l'shivu v'gam l'shmoinu refers to the following: Shivu is the shiva of the Yemei Nida, Yemei Tahara. Shmoinu is referring to the 8 days when a boy is gets a bris mila, and so the Medrash says ten chayik l'shivu. If you will give your part of looking after those dinim and those mitzvahs of tahara, of looking, of being careful and with alacrity looking after the mitzvahs of taharas hamishpucha, then the gamle shmoinu, I, the Rebbein Shloilam, will be mezake you and give you the merit that you will give birth to a baby boy who will be nimoy l'shmoinu. Fine. Ad kan divrei ha-medrash. Then introduced another mission in Uvas, which it says that Ashlosha Devurim, Lurushim, Maitsuis, Peshas, Leduson. Three iniquities, unfortunately, that bring a woman to die in childbirth. One of them, Shelo Nizari, Be, Hadlukas Aner, Bechala, and Enida. Three things. Either they were not cautious on lighting in Shabbos Lech, taking Chala, and Hilchas Nida. So two of those things you might readily say are what we call milse davide liglie. It's not exactly difficult to find out whether a lady is taking challah and she bakes challahs on Erev Shabbos. You smell the aroma, you see the challahs on the table, so therefore you know she was careful in this particular mitzvah. Whether or not she, what was the other two?
Nidah and Neh.
Whether she lights lechtlech on Erev Shabbos, it's something you walk into a home on Friday night and you'll see that she's careful and she lights Shabbos Lecht, so it's not exactly a secret. Whether or not she keeps the mitzvah shel shayach to Taharas HaMishpucha is a very private thing between her and the Rebbein Shlolem and maybe her husband. But it's only something which is very, how to say, nobody will be able to account for it except her. Mm-hmm. Now at this point of her succumbing to death, and Ruchel Leimaini was now leaving the world, there would be a strong reason to say that people will be meranan and say about her, yeah, of course, those two things, she used to light lechtach and she used to give challah, of course we knew that. But whether she kept the diktik of the nuances of haluchas of Taharas HaMishpucha, maybe that's the reason that she's passing away at childbirth, just like the Mishnah says. And this is one of the ones she's succumbing to. But since we said that Shlomo Melech said, Ten chaylik l'shivu, v'gam l'shmoinu, that if you'll be nizah in the 7 days of Tahara, which he's referring to in Yunamam of Tahara, Sameshpucha, v'gam l'shmoinu, then you will be zoicha to have a baby boy, which will be nima l'shmoinu. That's what the Meir Ledes was telling Ruchel. Al Tiri, have no fear. Don't worry that you will have a reputation that you left the world because perhaps you weren't nizah in this particular area. Ki gam zeloch bain. You've got a little boy now, and then you get a boy because ten chayrik neshivu v'gam neshmoinu. So therefore, the boy that's brought into the world right now is Mo'ira, that the kid that you were Nizha in that, and that's why you were Zoicha, Taka to have a baby boy who is Nimu L'shmoin. Adkan, the kid of Zayde Moshe. But there is another question here with regards to the other part of the end of the Seder, which is the story of, the regretful story of Dino. And there, Abba Golke mentioned a few weeks ago, the Shala of when Yaakov Avinu went and took the bruchos, it says that he took it b'mirmo, and Rashi says that he took it b'chochma. So there he explained to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld that the chochma was referring to Rafi Koyman and was like Matria. But the same thing applies in this week's Seder too, because it says there that when they went to meet the members of the family, this Groyser Chamor, Mitzchem, then it says that they came to negotiate with them, and they sat down. Yaakov Avinu said very little, in fact, but they interceded, and they said, and then explained to them, we're going to have commerce together, and we're going to interact together, we're going to marry together. And then again the word b'mirmu, and Rashi says, I think here b'chochmese. Again, the solution is, God, I can't see now, but the nekid of chochmese, there must be some wisdom here on the face of it. You take the story on face level, it's a ganz pusher to bluff. He said to them, go and circumcise your males. They went in and did exactly as instructed. They came and they knew that on day three they're going to be weakened. Walked in with warfare, slew, annihilated, and decimated the entire town. Walked out with their sister and goodbye, Charlie. and that's really not exactly what you would call chochma. So that's, Bemilmo is actually quite an accurate depiction of what occurred. So now, if we look at it carefully, we'll see some very interesting things. Look at the Lushan of the Torah when it speaks about the presentation of the request of Bnei Yaakov of Shimon Levi. Can't have a person who's uncircumcised to come amongst our family. It's disgusting. Now watch the words. If you'll be like us, that's a very roundabout way of saying things, and they haven't finished at this point. Then it carries on in the midrash. Tanai v'ichi devarachem, and then it says, "V'nusanis v'nusanis v'roshavni yitchemin inilam echad." But v'im lois sishmu eleinu lehimol. If you will not hearken to us and listen to us and actually implement this mitzvah, then v'inilam echad. Then v'lukachni es b'tayni v'lochni. Now in Hebrew, if you want to say "if you will mala," then you say "im tumoilu." You will mala. And if you want to say, if you will not mal, then you say, im loy tumoilu. But when you start coming around to the words, im tihiye kumoilu, if you will be like as lehimoil to be gemalet, it's a very roundabout, circumvented way. And the same thing goes for nusanis b'nusaychem nuschem, im loy sishmu eleni, which is a tenai, lehimoil, if you won't be listening to us to be gemalet, it's a, it, aba, eina mikro ze elu el tershain, is telling you there's something about it. So let's get to the point. The Gemara says, that how do we know that if a goy is the moil at the bris mila, that the bris mila is worthless, absolutely not worth tuppence? Because it says like this: himoil luchem kol zucha, and it says that without a vuv. So mudash is like this: himoil luchem kol zucha hamol yimoil, himoil yimoil hamol yimoil. Only somebody who is gemalad can actually fulfill the mitzvah of being the moil and the bris. So therefore, if you get a non-Jewish doctor and he does it, it's a circumcision, but it's certainly not a bris. And therefore, this is ma'akev. If you want to call it a bris, it's got to be done by a yid. So now, we come back to our story, and it's moiradik. They were saying something and inferring a moiradik ha'ura. They said to him, if you know this, Drish, of course you're fine. Then you'll understand what we're trying to say. If you don't, then you're missing the Chochmah. So what is it? Im tihiyekumoinu lehimoil, if you'll be like us to darshan the word himoil, hamol yimoil, that only if a yid is going to be the moil, then of course the bris is a bris mila, and then you fulfill the part of the condition. Ve'im zayis lo'isiluchem, if you will not dash in the word of himol yimol lachem kol zucha, of hamol yimol, that minayin la'akim shemol sha'ayim elus emila, that it's got to be done specifically through a yid and not through a Gentile, then v'lukach nesbitayni v'yolachni. What did they do? Zobginemen, between themselves, local circumcises, they did the job. There was a lot of cutting, maybe a lot of blood, but there was no bris, because all it was circumcision, but it was not bris mila. Well, what did Bnei Yaakov do? Sorry, wait, you ain't fulfilled the conditions and the terms. You didn't read the blueprint, the small print. And therefore they went in, v'lukachnis b'tayni v'holochni. And now on the back of that, we understand why it says, v'yani b'nei Yaakov eshchem b'omo. So Rashi says it wasn't just b'omo, it was b'chochme. Because there was a moyrdike chachma satera which was intonated there, and they didn't pick up on it. Chaps. Yeah.